This meeting is now being recorded.
So, good morning, good evening, everybody. This is IDN Guidelines Working Group call on 25th of August, 2016. And we have Gian, Dennis, Matt, Edmund, and myself, Simon, on the call. So, over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Samad. This is Edmund speaking, and first of all, I guess apologies for missing last meeting. Let's get back to the notes. We have a new version that I just noticed that Samad sent out the new version, and I suspect that is already updated with all the suggestions from before. Is that correct? And if so, then why don't we just jump immediately to recommendation 6 and start from there?
It's in 7, I think.
Right. So there are two changes. One is recommendation 6 has been moved to a new section at the end of this document. And it's called, the new section is called User Acceptance, suggested by Carl. And then the second change is the new proposed recommendation on reference second level LDRs was edited by Dennis, and that is proposed in section 2.4. Thank you.
So where did you say that recommendation 6 is now?
It's at the end of the document at this time, which is section 2.9. We can move that up if that is what is desired.
Because you're in 2.5, there is a recommendation 6 too. It's 2.3. Is that, no, okay. It only says 6. Yes, okay.
Sorry, I'm talking about the current recommendation 6, which was from the previous versions of the guideline. These numbers are for the new recommendations. So sorry for the confusion. So the recommendation 6, which we had carried from the previous version, is being moved to 2.9 from 2.4.
Okay. I apologize for being a little bit confused, but here and there, it seems like there are two key adjustments and that we should just make sure that we're good with it. And then moving on. One of which is a suggested edits from Dennis, if I'm not mistaken. Why don't we take that up first and then go back to the shifting of the recommendation 6. Did I get it correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. In that case, seeing that Dennis is on, perhaps if you could just highlight that the changes suggested, and we'll start from there.
Sure, Edmund, thank you. So my action item was to seek a way to merge recommendation 9, current recommendation 9, with the new proposed recommendation related to reference second level LGRs. While I was trying to do that exercise, I find it kind of difficult because one thing, current recommendation 9 is very high level recommendation whereas the new proposed recommendation was very focused on LGR. So at the end, I decided that current recommendation 9 should stay or remove altogether. And I rephrase the new recommendation on the LGRs based on information I found public information I found on the final report on reference labels, so that it's more a guideline and not too into the weeds, which I think myself and others thought the proposal was. So it's very succinct, I think to the point, and also based on a information already there, which is, like I said, the final report on reference tables. Of course, for your consideration.
Thank you, Dennis. It seems to me there are a couple of items. One, if I'm looking at the right text, the one is in blue, highlighted in blue. Am I correct? Make sure that.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
So in the
end of it seems to. Sorry. Please go ahead.
I lost my train of thought. Just go ahead.
Sorry about it. So it seems to me what jumps out is the end of the paragraph where it refers to PDT and RCEP. That does seem to be very specific to GTLDs. Perhaps we need to think about making it useful for CCTLDs as well. So that's my immediate response. Others, any thoughts?
This is Mark.
Max, please go ahead and then.
I think we should try to make these guidelines applicable for all TLDs and also useful for lower level domains. I don't think that we should just focus on GTLD.
Thank you, Matt. So I think that's pretty relevant. That I guess just one point on that is this has some contractual and kind of compliance relationship with GTLDs and probably CCTLDs as well as in the second level. So there is I understand what you're saying, and I think that's a good, you know, general approach, but we probably need to figure out the implications that have directly on contracts and compliance and stuff as well. But, Dennis, and then I guess back to that.
Yes, Edmund, and that's a really good point. So I would agree with you that we have to open this up for to include GTLDs as well as CCTLDs. So I will be okay to remove the second part of the last sentence where it starts with that deviation should be justified for the PDT or RCEP process or find a alternative or just reword it so that it's not exclusive.
Okay. Cool. Matt?
Yeah. In general, CCTLDs are not contractually bound by this because they, in general, CCTLDs don't have any contract with ICANN, just some kind of user relationship. But we don't have to take that into consideration because we state in the guidelines how it should be, and then the CCTLDs they choose if they want to follow it or not. Whereas the GTLDs are bound by the contract by ICANN to follow it. So we should see. I mean, we shouldn't make anything stricter than we think that the contract for the GTLD should be, but it could be, and it should be as strict for the CCTLD in our writing, but then the CCTLD decide if they want to follow it. That's my view. And this will also be relevant for lower levels, even if they are not contractually bound by anything. Right. And about the text refers to PDT, and soon there will be no PDT at all. PDT is a time-limited process for the new GTLD, in this new GTLD program. There are very few GTLDs left to be processed by the PDT process. I think that we should just put a period after justified. So
okay.
No reference to PDT or RCEP.
Yeah, that may be a good approach. I see Samad's hand up, but I'll put myself in the queue right after Samad as well. Samad?
Thanks, Edmund. So I just wanted to point out that the original recommendation which I had suggested in the last call had key components to it, which is the portion of the blue highlighted text which is deleted at this time. One of the first points, and I think that was also important, that they seem to be captured there. Maybe it's partially captured in the current simulation line, but in any case, it said that TLD registry should collaborate to review and contribute to the development of reference second LDRs. That's an important aspect because these reference LDRs are supposed to be a contributive effort, which will obviously become better with the contribution from the community. So I was wondering if that part of the recommendation or in some way could still be carried forward, unless I think the missing said that's already captured in current recommendation now.
Thank you, Samad. I want to make sure that I understood your comment. So Matt suggested that we remove the last part, and I guess Dennis kind of alluded to that as well. I'm not sure whether you're saying that there should be a little bit more than that, or want to make sure that I got
right. Your comment. Can you hear me clearly now? Or
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, this is better.
Okay. So I was actually suggesting that the original version of the new recommendation had a third part to it. If you read the deleted text, the first portion of the deleted text in blue, it says TLD registries should collaborate to review and contribute to the development of reference second level LGRs. This I thought was an important component where reference LGRs are something which are built through a community process. And that part is not covered in this version. And I was wondering whether Dennis felt that that part was already covered through current recommendation 9, and perhaps that is why that part was excluded. Otherwise, we may consider having a variation of that in the new recommendation as well. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And Dennis, if you have response, please put your hand up as well. I see Cal hand up, and I put myself in the queue before, so just making a note. One of the comments, Matt, on CCTLDs, I kind of beg to differ slightly. I understand generally that's the case, that CCTLD is not bound by any contracts or anything, but there is a, from the IDN CCTLDs that are signed on, especially through the fast track, there's a commitment, there's a clear commitment to abide by the IDN guidelines. So I understand that there's no compliance stuff done there, but there's still a clear expressed commitment in the process of the IDN CCTLD fast track. So that's just a note. And I see Cal, and then Mats, and then Dennis. Cal?
Thank you, Edmund. I was just reading the two chunks of text, and it occurred to me that we might not be clear on exactly what it is we're trying to achieve with this section and with vice contained herein. I think we need to decide whether any reference here is going to be interpreted as a must or a may. Firstly, I think if we intend on committing someone to doing something, and that'll be contractually enforced. And I know my view, and I suspect Dennis's view, is that it's more of a may rather than a must, in which case it becomes essentially a friendly advice rather than anything that you're expected to follow through on or show evidence of meeting. And I think that if you set that as the initial principle, then what you do if you vary the LGRs or if you don't take them might be very different to what it would be if it was a must statement. And to be specific, if we suggest that someone follows an LGR and they choose not to, then we need to be clear on why and to whom they would tell the deviations about. Who benefits from knowing about deviations from an LGR to the implementation of a particular TLD? If the TLD is not obligated to do that, then it no longer is a, or not obligated to implement the LGR, then those deviations are not very relevant, useful for the average user, and there's not much value to ICANN either because there's no compliance element to it. So I think advising someone to identify deviations obliges them to keep track of something that maybe isn't, and it's a point of reference that is meaningless to the average user. So I think the very first step we should have here is agree on what it is that we're trying to achieve with this advice. I think the general goal is that we have that we want people to have similar IDN tables because that helps implementation, it helps universal acceptance. There's a lot of good advantages to this, but how are we planning on how would we like to implement that that commonality of IDN tables? And I'm not convinced that we as a group have a clear view on exactly how we want that to happen. So I suspect that this particular item is never going to satisfy any of us until we have that consensus. Hopefully that makes sense. I fear I may have rambled a little bit.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. I do have Mats and Dennis on, you know, on the list, but is it possible to just get a sense around the room whether my thing is that we are on the same page in saying that the goal, as you said, is to have it somewhat consistent, has some consistency, but not because of the, as I mentioned, the contractual and those issues. We want to kind of make sure that there is a way out. The general direction, I think we are agreed that we, as much consistency as possible is actually a good thing. I just want to get a sense whether that is true. If anyone feels that is not the sense around the table, then please speak up now. Okay. So, Cal, I do understand your more nuanced part of the part, your statement, but at least that's the general direction it seems. So I'll go back to Beth, Matt and Dennis and maybe circle back to this particular, item. So Matt? Matt? If you're trying to speak, you still are on mute.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Yes, I think that what we're trying to achieve with this, this section on consistency is to make the TLDs deviate little as possible from the common format of IDN tables for a certain language or a certain script. And I think that is something that is good for the users. And it's also good for the registrar. It's good for internet. So that's my view. So Ahmad, suggested that we're adding a recommendation that the registers, cooperate on updating or keeping these tables updated. And I think that's a good recommendation that we should add, but as a separate recommendation. I don't think we should put that into the same recommendation as the one that we're talking about. So this should be a separate one. I think that we should have as small recommendations as possible, not combining things, having separate recommendations. And I think this is a separate thing. Yes, this is what my points on this text.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Dennis?
Thank you. And yeah, I just wanted to circle back to Sarmat's comment about removing the first part, the sentiment of the first part of the former proposed recommendation on that Rachel should collaborate to review and contribute. To some extent, I thought that was included in recommendation 9, and maybe we just need to call it out specifically. But also, I like Matt's proposal, which if we feel that that's what this team wants, we may want to specifically call it out as a separate recommendation. And I agree, we should have very focused to the point recommendation rather than have like large paragraph combining two or three items in each.
Thank you, Dennis. So I hear that the first part maybe should be integrated into 9. I guess the question from Samad was really whether there needs to be additional edits to 9 to that we do include that. I see Samad's hand up. So Samad?
I think so.
So this is a slightly, my comment is on something else. So Adilai, I think please go ahead and finish discussion on this and then I'll come in.
Oh, okay. So keep your hand up. And I guess back to Dennis, do you think it already, and I guess Thomas' question was whether it already encapsulates it, you think it's enough, or you think that we should have a bit of an edit to 9 to make sure that that part is included?
If that's the sentiment of the team, yes, but I felt that, I mean, if we start doing that, calling out specific items in the recommendation, then we can certainly put other things. I cannot think of one thing now, but I mean, and I was reluctant to include it, call it out to specifically say that registry should collaborate on this, on making or developing reference tables, is because there is already a process by which reference tables are published for comment, and all registries and the community at large are welcome to provide their input. So given that avenue, I don't know how practical it's going to be to put this language around that registry should collaborate and contribute in developing of the reference LGRs when there is already a process in place.
Yeah, I get that part. So I guess the clarification is, yes, you do think that, that 9 already includes it. There is no need to add to it at this particular point. I see Matt's hand just went up. Is it specifically on this, or if not, I'll go to Samad first.
Yeah, this is continuing on this. I think that, I mean, this guidelines should lift up things around IDN that we think is relevant, either because we think that we stipulate with a must, or that we merely stipulate by a should, or something that we want to push. And the current recommendation 9 talks about that the registries should collaborate, and that is recommendation 9. And I think that recommending the registries to contribute to the work of the reference table is a separate bullet. That specifically points out that the TLD registries with IDN, I guess, should are encouraged to contribute to the development of the reference second level LGRs.
Thank you, Matt. So you think that we should call it out? Did I get your suggestion to it?
Yes. It's a separate recommendation, not combined with the current recommendation 9. Not the combined one. Separate recommendation.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. With that, and I see Cal's comment on the chat. I don't think there is a process for collaborating specifically on the reference LGRs. There is certainly ongoing groups that pay attention to those and actively, proactively, in fact, produce LGRs that kind of likely become reference LGRs, but I don't think there's a specific defined process on the collaboration itself. But back to Matt's comment, then perhaps it may be useful if Matt, you could make a suggestion in terms of wording to specifically call it out, and then that might be easier for us all to consider back. I note that Dennis thinks it is already included in 9, no need to add. Matt, you think there we should actually call it out. So if it works, then actually making some suggested text may be useful. Okay, that's great. So on Dennis, so we don't need to fully agree on what goes out for comments. We need to be fully agreed, but we could develop it so that, you know, certain aspects are something that we want input from public, from the public comment as well. So that's, and we'll come back to that with Matt's suggested text next time. And Samet, you had a separate topic, and then I did want to go back to Cal's earlier mentioning of how we're doing this and see if we can get a better, more direct sense. Samet?
Thank you, Edmund. So I actually had a comment regarding the last part of the revised new recommendation, which refers to PDT and RCEP procedures. And what we've said, we obviously want to take reference to PDT and RCEP procedures out because we would like this recommendation to be more generally applicable to all TLDs. So as a alternative, I think what we could do is that when we talk about deviations should be justified if there is no reference to PDT and RCEP procedures, one could refer to security and stability considerations at that point. Thank you.
Okay. Just want to make sure I got the comment right. So, but this doesn't, are you suggesting adding additional note into this?
Right. So when we, right. So what I was saying is that when we remove PDT and RCEP procedures, the last part, which says but the deviations should be justified, but there's no reference point on how those really should be justified or what is sort of the, context. And actually what PDT and RCEP procedures bring out is one of the things they bring out is the security and stability considerations. So those could be, if we're keeping the deviation part, we could say something like, but deviations should be, considered. I guess we can come up with some specific language later in the context of security and stability considerations.
Thank you so much. I think I agree with the observation, and Dennis agrees as well. With that, I guess, Dennis, perhaps it is best you take a look at making some edits to the last part, as I guess you kind of suggested earlier in your comment as well. And then one more thing, though, just by invoking security and stability, I feel a little bit unease around that. So if we are going to talk about security and stability, we should add a few more criteria or what exactly we're talking about, because it's become a situation where everything is security and stability or can be argued
right
that way. So some qualifiers or such as might be useful as well, just as a suggestion to Dennis, as I guess you would think about making those edits. And Samet, do you want to jump back in?
Right. In this particular concept, there is a very clear definition of security and stability, which is available in RCEP policy documents. So we could refer to that.
Cool. And Dennis has confirmed that he will make the edits. I wanted to circle back to Cal and see if you made the comment I guess I responded and seems to be the general direction, but you seem to want a little bit more gradation on that. Did you want to further talk about that? My feeling is you might want it to be more positive and kind of, it seems to me your comment was saying that we should emphasize a lot more on the consistency, and the deviation should be de-emphasized a little bit more. That seems to be my what you were saying. I just want to make sure if that's the suggestion.
Yeah, and I think the importance of deviating from either the LGRs or perhaps a common IDN that's not yet made it into, or a common table that's not yet become an LGR. It's the important waxes and wanes depending on whether we enforce that that consistency or uniformity. If it's not enforced for the contract, then it's of no real benefit to a user anyway. So publishing deviations, it's only useful for IDN geeks and people who are involved in the development of IDN. The average user isn't going to benefit from it, and it will probably be more confusing than a help. So I'm questioning whether we would bother encouraging people even to publish deviations, at least publicly. If we think it's still important for the IDN community, then I think that would be a slightly different tone of recommendation, one where deviations would somehow be fed. And this is why I was asking about a formal process to modify LGRs, because if someone were to take an LGR, modify it because it suited their particular community better, capturing those deviations is useful for the IDN community, and there's still worthwhile reasons to share that amongst operators and those interested in IDN, but there's not much value in publishing it on your website or providing it to users. So depending on where we go with these recommendations, we may want to tailor what we ask of people or what obligations we place on them if they do choose to go down the path of modifying an IDN table.
Thank you, Cal. So I guess it confirms the observation that it's probably better to emphasize more inconsistency and de-emphasize the deviations. I think we can do that later on and come back to that and maybe move make it into footnotes or something when we do the final editing. So I think let's kind of hold that thought there, take a note of that, and then we'll circle back once we have a full document. I think it seems to me that we should be on the same page. And Matt, you have your hands up.
Yes. If all the tables are published in LGR format, there's no problem or difficulties in comparing and finding out what the difference is. What is not available then is the generation. Why have they removed that code point? Or why have they added that? Why have they added this contextual rule? Why have they and not including that? And that information is important for the development of the reference tables. That will be kind of an input for the work with the reference tables. We have to realize that the reference tables are not static and carved into stone and once and for all. They will be updated and will change. And for that, the real life use of IDN and the justification for not following the current reference table is important. So I think that we should keep the should requirement of sharing the justification. How it should be published or anything, I don't know. But we should lift it up that it's important. Thank you.
Okay. No, I think it seems like we're on the same page. The last part of the should, whether the justification is a should or a must, may be of some nuanced way, but I think it's like should probably make sense because there may be cases in, let's say, in DCTLD situations that local conditions or jurisdictions may dictate otherwise, and it may not be appropriate to make any detailed justification in the sense that we're looking for justification. So I think that probably makes sense. But I think Cal's point is I do agree with Cal's point. So we could come back to that when we do the final editing things.
Let's comment that again. I mean, if local law is the justification for removing or adding or something, that is important information for the reference table. So I don't think that is a good example of what we should not have justified. I mean, that's the justification as good as any. And that's important to know for the internet.
Yeah, I sorry, then bad example. But I guess it goes back to whether it should be a should or a must. And so far, I think that's your saying should be should. I agree with that, and I think everyone kind of agrees, except that not except that, but in addition to that, Cal thinks that we should de-emphasize this a little bit further and not come off as encouraging people to create deviations, and I think we're probably on the same page there as well. At least that's my observation. In that case, I'll move to the next item, which is the moving of the current recommendation 6 to the end. I don't know whether we need to discuss that at all. Max or others, is that something we need to discuss at this point, or should we move on?
I think we can move on.
This is Sarmad. I have not currently added this recommendation 6 as a clear recommendation which we are adding in our proposal. Perhaps one reason was that we were not able, you know, I'm not sure whether we've actually gone through the text and agreed to the final recommendation. So I think it will be useful if all of you agree with the language, then can quickly let me know, and then I will take it out of comments and make it a clear recommendation which we are proposing.
Okay, I guess we take that as a little bit of homework to come back to that. We don't have any specific at this point, so I guess we'll move to the next, I guess, big item which we should talk about with the invariants. I listed a whole bunch of discussion topics on. We have about 10 minutes.
May I suggest something else? Is under 2.3, there's a new text, a bullet 7.
Yes, please go ahead. Is there a specific item that you want to discuss on that?
Yes, I want to discuss if we really should recommend using the text formats of the IDN tables, because that's how I'm reading it. I think that we should say that the only recommended table format or the table, the LGR format. And they should include the all rules as long as it's possible by the LGR format.
Thank you. I'm trying to figure out who made those suggestions, but I think I agree with the maths. It's kind of like the situation that Carol mentioned, but even more so. Going forward, I don't know why we would accept even in tabular form that's not in the LGR. The RFC format. Is there anyone who wants to? Okay, I see Cal's hand up. Cal?
I think we should just be careful with this one because of the fact that this is contractually enforced, bearing in mind that there are a lot of registries that are developing their systems today, that are developing, are preparing for launching their TLDs. If we make the LGR format required, we're effectively obligating people to conduct some development work and incur some costs. We should certainly make it preferred, and that maybe we should consider rewording this to encourage people to use the LGR rule set. But I think ruling out the tabular format or suggesting that going forward at the publication of these guidelines that it's no longer acceptable, it might be a little bit too strong. So perhaps we encourage the LGR rule set usage, but we obligate people to provide the information via tabular or LGR format. So the obligation is met regardless of format. If you want to do the right thing is the LGR format.
Thank you, Cal. I see a few hands up. I'm not sure I completely grasp it, but I'll go to the hands. I didn't note whether Matt's or Dennis' hand went up first, but
hey,
I guess
Dennis, go.
Okay, so Dennis and then...
Yeah, thank you. I just want to point out that I wouldn't like to have been forced to use label generation rules, and here's why. And when the logger, because we're talking about how to publish the IDN tables, whether it's a text version, which is currently mostly widely used today, and the new LGR format, which is an XML-based file. And this is only going to be used for publishing, not for actual development work. I mean, my development team, at least, whom I consulted with, they would not use the XML in order to program the systems and the registries and the rules. They would have to translate the XML to something that is actually programmable. So enforcing registries to, just for the sake of publishing, going to the LGR format seems to me a little bit of unproductive. And we don't see how that benefit the community at large.
Thank you, Dennis. I think the suggestion is not to only provide an LGR, but that LGR is a must, and others, of course, you could provide in different formats that's useful for other consumption, for human consumption, for example, is useful. I think that's the case, but I'll go to Matt's first.
I think it's very clear that the general internet is benefit from the LGR, Only the LGR format permits specifying everything into the table, and furthermore, the text versions are not that well defined to be able to be sure what it really means without having a textual description at the side. So if you want to compare two tables from two different registries, and if you have it in LGR, you can mechanically compare it and see the differences. If you have the text format, you cannot. But it's very important that we have a path to use LGR only. I can, however, see the point that Carl is raising, that, okay, it's a cost and a development, etc. So I think that we could give a time period that during a transition, it's acceptable to but not recommended, to still use the text form. But after that transition period, then the table should be published in LGR. And if you have it in LGR, you can convert it to something else, to text if you want. Or you can incorporate that. That's, of course, the recommended solution. Use the LGR table in the production system too. Then you know that what you publish and what you use are exactly the same thing and should work exactly the same way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. And I think adding to what Mats said, there's a tool from ICANN that I think Samad, you can add to this that you can easily use and turn those tables into LGR form, which then makes processing and comparison possible. Do note that Dennis, your chat, and I think it's not only just registrants. I think this is useful for considering what Samad earlier said about, you know, the justifications on deviation, on security and stability and all that. So Dennis and Mats, you still both have your hands up, whether it was new hand or are they old? If they are new, then Dennis and then Mats. I see Dennis.
Sorry, now.
Lowered your hand.
I'm good. Then.
Okay,
I'm good.
So Mats. Mats, please go ahead.
Yes. What I should say? There is a tool to try to convert from text into the LGR, but that is only possible to a certain degree. Firstly, that you have used the text tables in a certain way. Secondly, their contextual rules will not follow. You cannot incorporate the contextual rules into the text format. And that means that you have to define them at the side. And, I've been part of the PDT team for 3 years. We have seen thousands of IBM tables here. And we know that the variation in how to use the text format is too great to be good. So I really recommend the LGR. That's the only way we can get a structure of the idea and usage of the CLD.
Thank you, Mats. I guess I'll make this. I volunteer myself to make some edits to this particular part, which is highlighted in blue right now. And for consideration, I heard Mats your suggestion and Dennis and Kyle's slight concerns there. And I'll try to put something together to see see it sounds better. But I note that we're at the top of the hour, so I guess I'll. I did want to. Sorry, just reading Kyle's last comment. Okay, yeah. So I'll take those and I'll suggest some wording for next time. But before we leave off, I wanted to take a quick look at the calendar because I guess the big question is whether we want to do something before Hyderabad and try to get it out. And if so, what is the timeline looking at, and you know how many more meetings we have? Samad, I don't know whether you have that information handy, so we can quickly take a look at that and before we leave off. Samad, sorry to put you on the spot here. But
so I was just counting. So I think we have about 5 meetings before that, about this week. Keep meeting every 2 weeks.
Okay, about 5 meetings. So we have about 3 more meetings to try to come to agreement on the items and then try to put it out just before Hyderabad. Is that something we want to push for?
So I would, I think we've made quite significant progress. If we are not able to finish before that, I think we could certainly push out what we've already agreed with. But if we can finish, I think that would be even better.
That sounds good. Right. So yes, that was exactly what I want to say, Cal. But just looking at it, we have about 5 more meetings. I guess if we meaningfully want to make it, then as 3 months, we need to come to terms with the big items, and then and as I think Dennis mentioned earlier, we don't have to agree on everything. We just need to put this out for public comment so that we can get the input from the community as well. So I guess that seems to be the target, and we are 4 minutes past top of the hour. Any other urgent items? If not, I see Cal, you're trying to type. I don't know whether you have some urgent item you want to. Okay. Seeing that's no, then thank you everyone for joining. We'll reconvene in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.